It's surreal to see someone, in many cases, saying verbatim words that I said to others or others said to me. But Tom's portrayal is very accurate. It's his skill, his craft is such, I couldn't really put my fingers on exactly the techniques he used, but he does resemble me. He really brings life to the character. And he has the ability through with the nuanced facial expressions convey to the audience exactly the intensity of our emotions in those troubling days in the immediate aftermath of the flight.
Chesley, it's really hard for us to imagine what it must have been like on that day when you are looking after all these people behind you and you've done this journey again and again, and then something like that happens, something you prepare for, but the real experience.
You know, it's one thing to have the intellectual knowledge that I had throughout my career that some sudden challenge might suddenly confront us. But it's quite another to have the emotional knowledge after the fact that it actually did happen to you. It really brings to life what's real at stake every time we fly, and that in spite of how ultra-safe commercial aviation has become in much of the world, in spite of how routine air travel seems to have become, we can't forget that when we go up together in an airliner, what we're really doing is pushing a tube filled with people through the upper atmosphere 7 or 8 miles above the Earth at 80% of the speed of sound in a hostile environment with outside air pressure 1/4 of that at the surface and outside temperatures of minus 70, and we must return it safely to the surface every time. And we do.
Did you expect the amount of pressure that would be on you and your co-pilot after this had happened, the investigation, the inquiry that went in, heaped on you?
Yes, I did. You see, years before, as a volunteer for the Pilots Union, I had been an accident investigator and had participated in a major NTSB accident of another aircraft at our airline. So I knew what it was going to be. I knew that their job was to spend up to a year and a half interviewing everyone involved, analyzing the data from all the recorders, doing a structural analysis of the airplane and all its systems. And since I was pilot in command, I was captain, it was their job to scrutinize every thought I had, every choice I made, every word I uttered, every action I took or did not take. But I did not let that knowledge that I had during the flight dissuade me from making difficult decisions and sticking with them, even though I knew that everything I did, everything I said would be scrutinized by many for decades.
Are there moments, and were there moments after, and I wonder how quickly that came to you, where you just had to kind of take a deep breath because many people thought that that isn't possible what you did, to land that plane on the Hudson River?
Well, even though we'd never trained for this eventuality, in fact, we'd never considered it. In fact, in our flight simulators, it's not possible to practice a water landing. The data don't exist. They aren't programmed for it. So the only training we'd ever gotten for a water landing was a theoretical classroom discussion. But we were able to take what we did know, adapt it and apply it in a new way to solve even this unique set of circumstances. And I think that's one of the great challenges of being an airline pilot these days, is you never know what tomorrow may bring, but you have to have a paradigm already in your mind about how to solve any emergency in an airplane, how to set clear priorities even in terra incognita like this.
Yeah. Take me into the cockpit with you at that moment when you had landed. Just that split second, did anything pop into your head? Did you think you'd had actually landed? Was there a moment of kind of ethereal, am I here? Is this real?
Well, I have to frame it by saying it was incredibly intense. The startle factor as we encountered this situation so suddenly was absolutely overwhelming. But once we had landed, once the airplane was stable, it was floating, it was intact, and everyone was okay, our first officer, Jeff Skiles, and I turned to each other in the cockpit at the same time in the same words said, well, that wasn't as bad as I thought. So it was an acknowledgement that we had solved the first and the biggest problem of the day, but we still had problems to solve to get 155 people out of a river on an airplane that was taking on water on a day when the air temperature was -6 and the water temperature +3.
Do you live your life differently now? Do you think differently about life?
I think everyone on the airplane does. For many, it was a second chance at life. It was a second chance to live a life more authentically and not someone else's idea of what a life should be. It was a chance to reconnect with those we care about, to try to keep that focus on a daily basis and not to get too busy with just the busyness of life that we don't remember what our priorities should be. But I think also it was a reaffirmation of the inherent goodness of much of human nature. I think part of that was because this happened at a time in the world's history during the 2008-2009 worldwide financial meltdown, when it seemed as if everything was going wrong and no one could do anything right. And then this group of strangers rose to the occasion that day to save every life. And I think at a time when we all needed it, it gave people hope.